Adam McKelvey covers the Brewers for Brewers.com. Check out all of his work online, following the crew from start to finish of this 162-game season and coming off a sweep of the Yankees, something I don't believe Adam has ever seen in all of his time covering the Milwaukee Brewers. Adam joins us on the line right now. Greetings, Adam.
Yeah, I was, let's do the math here, maybe fourth grade? The last time they swept the Yankees, so it's been a little bit. I wasn't covering the Brewers then.
That sounds about right, because that division, I mean, this is way before the wild card. There weren't as many divisions. Like, you had to win the division to get to the playoffs is kind of what it felt like. And the Brewers division back then was like the Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, Tigers, Orioles, Brewers. It was a gauntlet. Like, how are you going to get through with that? You could win 90 games and not even sniff the postseason.
It's why when the Brewers got good, 1978 is the year they really took that huge leap forward. You know, they didn't get to the playoffs till 82. They had great teams for 5 years, and it was the Orioles were great at that time, late 70s, early 80s. And it was really hard to make it in. It's a different era and kind of a different – it's a different sort of challenge, I think. I mean, this is a totally different topic, but talking to Chris Hook – about starting pitching, because if you look at Brandon Sproat tonight, if he gets to the fifth, that's a good start. It's different the way they're attacking the problem of pitching these days. It's Chris calls it the drag race style, where these guys go out and they kind of air it out for 4 or 5 innings, and then you go to your bullpen. The game changes, and it's certainly an era where pitching is a lot different now.
Yeah, you lead right into what I was going to ask you about, Adam. So I know wins maybe aren't held as high regard as, you know, the or late 70s or even 20 years ago. But when you look at the current wins leaders in Major League Baseball right now, the top five, you have Davis Martin in Chicago, George Kirby, Seattle, Jose Soriano in the Angels, Chris Sale, it's a natural answer there, at number two. And then you have the vulture himself, Aaron Ashby, with 2 wins in that Yankees series. How is his role continuing to develop out of the bullpen? And also, how did he get that nickname?
Well, the vulture, I did not know this until I wrote about this today. And the vulture, first vulture, was Phil Regan, who pitched for the Dodgers, and it was his teammate, Sandy Koufax, who called him the vulture because Regan was a reliever who won 14 games, and I think it was 1966, and he would kind of – the idea of the vulture is it's the guy who swoops in and kind of steals away the win from the starting pitcher. And it's either a close game or, again, nowadays you have to get 5 innings by rule as a starting pitcher to qualify for the win. That's just rarer and rarer. So relievers are set up to pick up more victories in today's style of game. The vulture that I remember here was Brent Suter, who had a year in 2021 where he was the first Brewers pitcher to get to double-digit wins, and his teammates let him have it, and there were T-shirts made up with this big vulture on it. And Suter actually didn't like that idea. He kind of pushed back against it. But eventually he sort of succumbed, and he wore this T-shirt. And if you get the newsletter that was sent out by email today, there's this awesome picture of Suter doing his Suter thing with the vulture T-shirt on. So now it's Ashby, and yes, when he walks in the clubhouse, he's getting bird called and guys, you know, flapping their arms, and he is definitely hearing about it. And for his part, he doesn't love it because he thinks that the rules should be changed to better reward starting pitchers who are still doing heavy lifting, even if they're not. They're not going 7-8 innings anymore. That era is just a different era. And he thinks they should change the rule that you don't have to do a minimum 5 innings. It should just be the rule now, if a starter doesn't go 5 innings, is that the official scorer gets to determine the most effective pitcher. He thinks that should just be the rule. So, and he said, you know, if he does, I don't think he believes this is going to happen, but if he does somehow wind up as the Major League Baseball's leader and wins by the end of the season, he says the fastest way to fast-track this rule change is for that to happen. So I think he's like rooting for that to happen and not rooting for that to happen at the same time.
So Bryce Turang's star continues to rise here, Adam, right? He got put on the national map, I think probably more so with the World Baseball Classic. But then he hit a walk-off against the Yankees on Mother's Day. And then he get Aaron Judge, a legitimate star in the league, saying this about you.
Yeah, he was hitting the ball farther than me in BP. It was really impressive. So, he's one of a kind, man. He's, I wish we had him on this team. He's just, I think you could ask all 30 teams, all 29 other teams, they wish they had him in this clubhouse.
I wish we had him on this team. I think some Brewers fans look at that like, yeah, it's our guy. And then you look at it and say, oh, no, it's the Yankees. He could end up on that team at some point. It does bring to light, you know, how the Brewers kind of go about their business. You look hard at their top prospects. There's a lot of infielders there, right? Bryce Terang, he's, I think, under control for another couple of years with arbitration. But, you know, the idea of Bryce Terang on the Yankees, I don't want to see that anytime soon because of where his star is. But I also understand how the Brewers do business.
Yeah, I think another way to look at that is to scream tampering, because it sounds like Aaron Judge is trying to lay the groundwork for a future run at Bryce Terang. I don't know if that's – I know that's not what he was trying to say. He was trying to compliment a guy who he really came to like a lot when he was playing with him in the World Baseball Classic. Bryce Terang has taken that quantum leap that Pat Murphy talked about those years ago. And if you look at his career, it's a reminder that it takes a while for some guys to kind of get there. Bryce Terang statistically was the worst hitter in the major leagues his rookie season. And he's gotten better each year to the point where now he's, you know, arguably the Brewers' best player. I don't know if that's even arguable, really. He is really super valuable. He's very, very good. He is on a trajectory to, you know, shop himself to the Yankees in a couple of years. And Aaron Judge was super complimentary. And, you know, Aaron Judge was cool. He is, people have seen him, I'm sure. And he's a very genuine, humble kind of guy. And he really spoke highly of Terang. And he loved what he saw from Jacob Mizorowski. He said it was one of the best fastballs he's ever seen. And just think about for Mizorowski and Terang, what it means to have a guy who's as respected in the game as Aaron Judge is accomplished to say those types of things. I mean, it's why Pat Murphy was so excited for Terang to go to the World Baseball Classic, because things like that make a player feel like, look, I belong here. I can do this. And that is a huge part of the battle in this sport.
You know, you refer to that Mother's Day series with Terang and the walk-off. Also on Mother's Day, an emotional day for one Blake Perkins with that big two-out, two-run single early in the game, capping the rally, but also Perkins' first Mother's Day game without his mom since her passing. You saw inside that locker room, Adam. How did they rally around Blake both before, during, and then after that emotional day?
Yeah, it was. I think it was the best part of the day. I think it was. It meant, you know, more to a lot of people who know Blake Perkins and what he's been through. Almost in the walk-off win, like that was the moment that a lot of people will remember from that day. He had a horrible year last year. Remember, he fouled a pitch in live BP off his shin and broke his shin. And they thought it was going to be a couple of weeks, and for whatever reason, it just wouldn't. It was so stubborn about healing, and it meant that he was home, kind of dragging in his rehab, and his mother was diagnosed with colon cancer. He's from the area there in Phoenix, so the silver lining was he got to be home with his mom. But 4 months later, she was gone, and he didn't tell anybody. He kind of had family and friends around him, obviously, but he didn't tell teammates. He didn't want to burden them. He didn't want to change the vibes, which were very good by the time the Brewers got to the summer last year. And, you know, then he finally did let the team in on what happened towards the end in the playoffs. And exactly what you expect to happen happened. They all rallied around him. He's a very, very quiet guy, a very solid defender, a good player, a player that all the teammates really respect. And he just didn't want to trouble anybody. But, you know, look, when you're – it's just like those of us who are lucky to have good coworkers and certainly good family and friends, it's like you want to be burdened when people are going through something like that because you want to be there for them. And I think that's how his teammates have looked at it since knowing what Perk has been through. And, look, this year has also been tough. He was shocked to not be on the opening day roster. Then he got called up right away when Churio got hurt. And he got demoted again, only to get called right back when Brandon Lockridge got hurt. So he's just been yo-yoed back and forth. He's trying to gain a little confidence. And I think his teammates certainly hope that that moment on Mother's Day, with all it meant to him, is the sort of thing that can get a guy going, because he could be very valuable to this team while Lockridge is down, which looks like it's going to be a while because of the way Perkins switch hits. He plays great defense. He could really help out if he can get going.
So, Adam, quick update on Christian Yelich and Quinn Priester. Where are they in terms of rehab and potential return to the Major League club?
Quinn Priester is saying he's having good progress. He's throwing bullpens, but I think they're going to be really patient. They want to get a good foundation under him before he goes off again to avoid what happened when he began his first rehab and the walks were out of control. Yelich is getting close. He's been running on the field. He's been taking BP on the field. He is not a guy who likes to go on rehab assignment. You can imagine the hullabaloo when you're Christian Yelich and you try to go to Appleton or you try to go to Nashville. He'd rather avoid that and just get live at-bats against teammates before coming back. So that looks very close. Pat Murphy said even before the end of this homestand, if not, potentially on this next road trip.
Good stuff, Adam. We'll check out your work tonight following the game. Brewers take on the Padres. Game one of a three-game series tonight. Another first-place team here in Milwaukee. Great stuff, Adam. We'll check in again next week. Thank you.
See you, guys.